When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Dead center of the work week. Whew. It's been quite the climb. My legs actually feel like I've been climbing. But that's not related to the fact that it's the hump show. In light of the tweet from a listener named Ty, who said he cares about my half marathon. Actually, there was another guy named Tyler who said that my imitation of my cat singing is the best part of the show. How is that possible? Jay, how is it possible that me imitating my cat, who's senile and gets confused about where I am in the house and starts singing like, how is that the best part of the show? Any ideas? Any clue?
I don't know. I'm not in Tyler's brain.
What does that mean about all of my insight and intel and humor when it comes to the world of sports, that people care more about my senile cat and my senior citizen dog? What? Every time I look up on TNT, Aaron Rodgers is on the screen sitting next to Sauce Gardner.
They showed him every 3 minutes.
Seriously, every 2 seconds. And he does look... I'm not the only one who thinks this, because Pat McAfee mentioned it too. He looks like he's lost a bunch of weight. He's got a haircut. I'm telling you, he's showing up for his new lover. He's getting himself in order.
He looks great, I gotta say.
See? This is what happens when you have a new love. All of a sudden, you care again about what you look like. You care about what you wear. You're not moping around depressed about your old relationship and eating too much ice cream and wearing sweatpants and sitting on the couch on a Friday night by yourself.
I'm going to my darkest retreat.
Now you're out. You're out there. You're dressing nicer. You're combing your hair. You're actually washing. You're combing your hair.
I'm not a dumb jock.
You started to work out again. Aaron Rodgers has got a new love, baby. Coming up this hour, Peyton Manning about Aaron Rodgers and why he believes it will work with the New York Jets. And if anyone has insight about transitioning, changing midstream, actually not even midstream, downstream. So they're so far downstream in their careers. Peyton was a little younger when he went to Denver, but all he had known was Indianapolis before that. He has some insight as to how the Broncos made it easy for him and what the Buccaneers finally did to acclimate themselves to Tom Brady, and how the Jets can skip those steps and learn from what the Bucs did not do correctly. On TNT, they're in the late stages of this game between the Knicks and the Heat, replaying it, of course. There are 4 seconds to go. It's essentially a done deal now. But man, the buzz. You can even see it on screen without the video, without the audio of the crowd going nutso. But yes, as if there wasn't already enough attention being paid to Aaron Rodgers, every time I look up, he's the one that's on camera. His young Jets teammates have to be overjoyed. The spotlight is now firmly focused on the Jets. And remember, they have the reigning offensive and defensive rookies of the year, plus Breece Hall, who's coming back. Robert Saleh going into his third year. They bring in Nathaniel Hackett. It's potentially the perfect gangrene storm.
And if they don't win, it's not his fault. It's not their fault, though. Everyone will blame Rodgers.
You think?
In the New York area, I think so.
Huh. We'll see how it goes. Still a long way off, though. I can't get that excited about football yet. Speaking of football, can I play back for you a brief snippet of a conversation that I had with Bob on Tuesday evening. For the first time, I'm questioning whether or not Bob actually knows what I do for a living. Now, to be fair, Bob has not heard me talk about football in season yet. Bob doesn't realize, maybe, that what we do here on After Hours in season, during football season, is hot and heavy. I mean, we go deep on games. We love to break them down. You know that our Sunday night shows, actually Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night shows, we are not only looking back at the games, but we go real deep on themes and trends and turning points and redemption. We love our NFL here on After Hours. I'm not sure Bob has understood yet the magnitude of our deep NFL coverage. Bob has a son who wants to get into football coaching and is just about to graduate from college. And so his son has a job coaching football, which he will start once he graduates. Bob and I were talking about his son, because graduation's coming up. And I said, what does he coach? And there's this pause. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he's going to say football. And so I almost said it out loud, don't say football. There's a pause. And indeed, Bob replies with, well, he coaches football. Okay.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
In my brain, I'm thinking, be kind. There's no need to. There's no need to freak out over this. My response was, yes, I know he coaches football. Do you know what I do for a living? He's like, oh. It dawned
on him. That covered it.
What does he coach? Well, he coaches football.
Football. You know.
He coaches football, all of it, just the, all of it.
Everything, you know, wide receivers, quarterbacks, nothing you can't do out there.
Defensive line, punters.
No problem.
He coaches it all.
Special teams.
But just the funny part was special teams. The funny part was there was this pause, and I thought, oh, my gosh, he actually thinks I don't remember that his son coaches football, and so he's about to say football. He doesn't get that my question was about what position does he coach. And so I'm like, yes, I remember you told me he coaches football. You know what I do for a living, right? I'm not a chick that needs to be mansplained to. I don't think I said mansplained. I just said I'm not your typical chick who doesn't know that there are 17 coaches.
We don't have time for that.
17 coaches for every roster.
He's a football coach.
He coaches football, you dummy.
What do you think?
I told you he wants to be a football coach, and you're asking me what he coaches? Somehow it went right over his head. So yes, after I had a bit of a sarcastic response. Well, yes, I know he coaches football. I did say something about not being your typical girl who doesn't understand position coaches. And he said, oh, he coaches wide receivers.
There it is. So he knew that there was like another level of it and something
he
else
knew,
more specific.
But he didn't know that I was right. Asking that. He actually thought somehow I forgot that his son was a football coach, even though he just said it. I had just asked him about coaching and when he was starting. So what does he coach? Pause. Well, he coaches football.
I can see your, I can see your side.
The wheels in my brain turning. Thank you, Jay. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
I got you.
But I didn't say duh. Are you proud of me? I did not say duh.
Yeah, it's a step.
It's a step? What does that mean?
Yes, good move.
I do want to be careful of his feelings because I still think there's a bit of a learning curve when it comes to me and the job. we do share a love for football. Now, he's more college football. I do love college, but I absolutely adore the NFL. NFL, not meaning the owners and the league, but just the brand of football that it is. I love NFL football. And so we'll be able to share that. I don't think he fully recognizes how nutso we get about our NFL coverage here during the fall. I haven't yet broached the idea of fantasy football either. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, man, you're going to open that door? Has he ever played?
Did I just tell you I haven't yet brought it up?
No,
I don't know.
You don't know, so you don't know
no
if he's
idea.
Ever played.
Gotcha. Judging by the fact that he thinks... Well, judging by his response about his son coaching, what does he coach? Well, he coaches football. I'm gonna assume that he probably doesn't recognize that I'm also a fantasy football whiz. What are you gonna
and
do?
And champion.
What are you gonna do? Yes, champion for. I do have the trophy. I no longer have the money, but I do have the trophy.
Trophy's good.
The trophy's good. Oh goodness, Bob is a keeper. I will say that Bob is definitely a keeper, and I think he's been cheating and listening to us talk about Star Wars this week because he not so subtly referenced that it's a big week for Star Wars. I was like, oh, you cheater. You've been listening again. I'm maybe going to drop in some erroneous information and see if he brings it back up in a conversation.
Whoa.
Like he's a spy. You know how tradecraft for spies, if you think you have a double agent or you think you have a spy, what do? You plant some info. You plant some intel that's wrong to see if it gets passed up the chain to your competitors or to Russia. He could be a spy for Russia.
Like Obi-Wan's secret meeting with Darth Maul?
Okay, don't be giving anything away. But yes. So the fact that he's cheating, I think, is pretty evident. I'm going to drop some wrong information. What would be wrong information for me? Let's see. Something about me personally. Maybe I'll answer a question on Ask Amy Anything and just give a completely opposite answer. And then he's going to something about a food that I really like or that I don't really like, but I'll say that I really like it.
Or like a band or like or, next time a song or something.
Yes, or maybe a bucket list item. And we'll see if he starts making plans.
Then he's going to go and buy the plane ticket and be like, look what I got.
Look where we're going.
You'd be like, that was the last place I ever wanted to go.
He's cheating, though, and he won't acknowledge. So that's what he gets for trying to pick up information about me when it's inequitable. It's not fair.
It would be a good lesson. It is not fair.
A good lesson?
Yeah, for him.
He deserves that lesson?
Oh, I didn't say that. I don't know if he deserves it, but it would be a good one nonetheless.
He coaches football.
What
a goof. He coaches football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. You've got about 25 minutes remaining before you need to have your questions fully submitted, crafted, typed up, hopefully with no typos, and fully submitted for producer James so he can pick the ones that he likes the best. And because it is really about Jay and what he likes the best. And also, if you want to send some more thoughtful questions that might deserve longer answers, you could send them for a future edition of Ask Amy Anything on our YouTube channel. By the way, before the end of the week, we will have a date on Chubby Bunny World Championship number four. It'll be Chubby Bunny World Championship number four. The return of Chubby Bunny, spring of 2023. We'll have a date for you. So send your questions for Ask Amy. That's coming up under a half hour from now. And also on both Twitter and Facebook. We always have goodies for you. Check it out.
I get it.
Gonna be so great. I absolutely can't wait.
He's out.
Oh, God.
Wait, what happened to double digits?
What's your
I can't.
What happened to double digits? We nearly had someone die on the air just over a year ago. But Sean Marash of the DA show that follows us here on CBS Sports Radio, he has agreed to try again. He says he's in training. I don't even know what that means. How do you train for Chubby Bunny?
I've heard that before.
Right. We've heard the big talk and the big promises. But he's agreed to try again, and so we will have the return of Sean on Chubby Bunny, and Jay actually is one of our co-champions, our defending champions, even though he projectile vomited a marshmallow across the room, if not for the microphone that it smacked into. I feel like we have the audio of that, too, where the marshmallow
hit. You can hear it on the video on our YouTube. You can definitely hear a distinct something
smack.
Hitting the microphone. Yeah,
right into the microphone. If you haven't seen the Chubby Bunny World Championship, all three of the previous engagements, all three of the previous competitions are on our YouTube channel After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, coming up, we're going to get a little bit, we're going to strap on the skates because we had the Seattle Kraken and the Dallas Stars in what was, it was a game that you had to see to believe, almost. The return of Joe Pavelski, one of my favorite hockey players of the last 15 years. And in addition to that, sorry, I'm still thinking about projectile vomiting a marshmallow. It has nothing to do with Stanley Cup playoffs. The Maple Leafs hosting a second round game in the playoffs for the first time in forever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Pass ahead for O'Reilly. Drop pass for Yarncroft. Back in front, they score! Holy mackerel, what a great pass from Yarncroft! And it's Bunting! Forehand, backhand, tie game!
Carter Verhaeghe able to nudge it to the neutral zone. Duclair Verhaeghe and a breakaway pass to the defense. Verhaeghe and a shot, and he scores! And the Panthers are back in front! Carter Verhaeghe makes it 3-2! What a feed from Duclair, and then it was Verhaeghe off to the races, and he beats Samsonov, and the Panthers get the lead back on their side. Montour, far side, it's Barkov, Kachuk, right circle, out to Montour, one-timer, he scores during the delayed penalty! Brandon Montour on the one-timer, set up by Kachuk, and the Panthers take a 4-2 lead with 7:36 to play here in the third.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not only do we get the Panthers as an 8 seed taking out the big bad Bruins, but now they take the one game lead over the Maple Leafs in the opener of the semifinal series in the East that takes place in Toronto. But man, what a big moment for Maple Leafs fans, for the Panthers, sure, but to have Toronto hosting a second round game for the first time since, 2004? It's been a long time, nearly two decades for the Maple Leafs and their fans. And I know this one didn't go the way that they wanted, but I have no doubt that they will bounce back. Really impressive performance by the Panthers as they double up the Maple Leafs because they're coming off what was a grueling seven-game series against the best team in NHL history. Not just the best team in the league this year, but the best team in NHL history. Maybe there's a little bit of an adrenaline rush here because a bunch of their guys actually hail from Ontario or even grew up as Maple Leafs fans, which is really cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Carter Verhaeghe, where have we heard that name? Oh, he had the overtime game winner, sudden death in Boston just a couple nights ago. He's actually an Ontario native and is enjoying the fact that he gets to play there in Toronto. He's talking about a team, a franchise that he grew up watching.
Always fun coming home and seeing, we're pretty far away in Florida. So, I mean, when you come back.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
And see friends and family. I mean, it's always nice to see your family and stuff. And I mean, a lot of us, we grew up watching the Leafs and were Leaf fans growing up. And I mean, it's a lot of fun playing against them in this arena. I mean, it's kind of a surreal moment.
That's cool. And he's not the only one. Brandon Montour had his family in attendance. This is also his childhood team.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, they've obviously supported me, Six Nations, Brantford. You know, I got Delp with me as well. So we're kind of within the same area. So we got a lot of fans back home and that are rooting for us. But we also got a lot of Ontario boys as well. So, you know, obviously we enjoy playing these games, playing, you know, in Toronto. You know, obviously there's a lot of Leafs fans and they're rooting for the Leafs. But like I said, we got a lot of Ontario boys that we got a lot of support, you know, so it's nice to see, you know, obviously throughout our whole careers and especially now.
Maple Leafs did have a couple of opportunities to get the equalizers in the third or the equalizer in the third, but didn't threaten a ton against Sergei Bobrovsky. There was a penalty and a shot right before, you know, how there's a delay depending upon puck possession with a penalty. And so they were going into a power play, but had a good look right before that penalty. And there were a couple of pretty impressive saves from Bobrovsky later in the game. For the most part, though, the Panthers seemed like they had plenty of energy in their legs, and yet they are the team coming off of a really tough series against the Boston Bruins.
I thought we were good tonight. I didn't think we were great. We went from such an extreme series in terms of physicality. I would say it was under physical from what we were used to. And then they had a good pushback halfway through the game. We kind of got a little bit away from what we're good at, and they got closer to what they're really, really good at. And that'll be the battle of this series, right? Both teams have something they're really good at. You can expect a certain amount of forecheck and physicality from us. You will expect a certain amount of speed and skill from them for sure. And then one team will feed the other.
I'm excited to see the second round matchups play out. They're different than maybe what was expected. I mean, Toronto's had a lot of potential now for a couple of years, but hasn't been able to capitalize. So finally gets into the second round, and you can imagine the fans there are jazzed up, and it's the talk of the town. I thought this was kind of cool, too. I didn't know this about John Tavares. He had the game winner, the overtime goal for the Maple Leafs against the Lightning. Was it game six? Game six. So he had the overtime goal, and he's also a Toronto guy, right? So this was his favorite team when he was growing up, and now he's playing for them. So for the first time in nearly 20 years, they get into the second round on this sudden death goal from Tavares. He's a captain, and so what an incredible moment for him, almost first full circle from when he was a kid. And speaking of kids, he and his wife just welcomed their third child, a brand new baby daughter. So you can imagine it's been quite a... Well, it's been quite a joyful stretch for him and for his family. But, of course, new baby and being pulled in two different directions, there's also an element of that, too. But really cool for him. And so congratulations to Tavares and the Maple Leafs. I have no doubt that they will respond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I would never call a Stanley Cup playoff game boring, but Panthers-Maple Leafs was relatively... was relatively calm, relatively benign when compared to the roller coaster ride, the ups and downs of the Kraken in the second round. So coming off their first ever playoff series win as a franchise against the Dallas Stars in Big D.
Here's Ben in, shot, save, rebound, score! And it's Joe Pavelski. His return, Joe Pavelski has all three. And a bit of a delayed reaction, but now the hats come raining down. Rink wide. Domi. Soft pass. Hockenpah has a man in front. It's Pavelski. Fed there. Score! He's got four! You've got to be kidding me! Joe Pavelski! It's amazing!
Four goals for Joe Pavelski. Four goals! And the first period alone for this game was frenetic. There were six goals scored in the first period alone. So between Seattle and Dallas, maybe you should expect some fireworks. Yeah, Dallas was already trailing 4-2, even though Pavelski had a pair of goals. They're already trailing the Kraken 4-2 after the first period. Second is the complete opposite. There are no goals. And then in the third, Pavelski has two more and is able to net the great equalizer in this one that sends them into overtime. But yeah, up and just this kind of incredibly powerful start to the series to set the tone. But how do you keep that up? You're up. All this adrenaline, all this excitement, all this energy, all this electricity. That is a tough act to follow after six goals in the first period of your very first game. Speaking of Pavelski, he is nearly 39 years old. Oldest player ever with a four-goal game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And to his credit, he has 170 postseason games. And don't you love these stats that get tacked on? This is what happens when you're an old dude and you haven't won a cup. The San Jose Sharks came close. They had a real good run of playoff appearances and did even get to the Stanley Cup final, but were unsuccessful. So now that he's with Dallas and he continues to accrue these playoff games, he's one of only five players in NHL history that have logged this many postseason games without winning a cup. And he could have had a few more if not for the fact that he was in concussion protocol the last handful of games. Pete DeBoer, who, of course, a former coach of the Sharks, actually said it was epic. Epic! I'm ashamed that we wasted it and didn't win after the performance from Pavelski. Four goals, though this one goes into sudden death.
Excited to be back, that's for sure. First lap warm-ups, you know, felt a little shot of adrenaline right there. I was excited. Starting the game was, you know, just as much fun. And then, you know, we battled all night. It was a good game. We were right there. Obviously, a tough loss. You want to get those.
I just realized I didn't even play the overtime winner for you. We should actually do that for Seattle because, again, this is history for the Kraken coming off their first four playoff wins in franchise history against the Colorado Avalanche. They take out the defending Stanley Cup champs in Denver in game seven, and now they've got the early lead against the Stars.
Dropping for Larson, fakes the shot, pulls it back in. Bjorkstrand blasting, blocker down. Bjorkstrand gets his own rebound, puts it back toward the goal, and never got through. Now Seattle! Yeah!
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Scores! Scores! On the far side! It's hammered in off the rebound! Yanni Gourde, the overtime hero here in game one.
The Seattle Kraken continue to make up this new path for themselves as a franchise team. And it's not that different, I would say. I know they missed out in year number one, but not that different than, say, what the Golden Knights did initially. Now, in their first year, they went to the Stanley Cup final, right? Am I remembering that correctly? In their first year, they didn't win, but they introduce themselves to the NHL with all kinds of pomp and circumstance and splash. Oh, I nearly knocked over my coffee. Oh, my goodness. I was talking with my hands.
And you said splash.
That's right. As I said splash, I nearly knocked over my mug of coffee. I'm not sure there's much left in there, but still, I wouldn't want to waste even a drop. So it's not the exact same arc for Seattle, but in year number two now, here they are racking up playoff wins, and they've got this initial victory in Dallas, and Yanni Gourde with the overtime winner.
It's huge. I mean, that's how you want to start a series. It's going to be a tough series. We know how good and strong they are. We know it's a huge game, first one.
A lot of star power. 5-4 the victory for Seattle, but all four goals for the Stars, courtesy of one Joe Pavelski. And a couple times he was just tipping them. Right place, right time. One of the things that Joe has always done well is have an active stick around the net. Right place, right time. Take advantage of the opportunity. And he's always done that in his career. Now at 39 years old, a lot of those former Sharks that I rooted for, they've spread out. The ones that are still playing are spread out all over the league now. San Jose's been sending them everywhere, or they weren't re-signed and they found new homes. Yeah, it's interesting. I know that's part of the fan experience, is when your team does a rebuild or when your team decides to go in a different direction, older players then will get traded or they'll get cut. They spread out around the league if they're not done with their careers. And that's happened with a bunch of long-tenured, high-profile Sharks over the past few years. So I do want them to succeed, but there's still a pang there. There's definitely a wistfulness and some pangs of what could have been.
Brett Burns is helping out Carolina.
That's true. Talk about character. My goodness. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, a couple minutes left for you to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also, on our Facebook page, look for the bright orange box with the yellow thought bubble. I don't even remember who designed it, but I know it's become the signature now. Ask Amy Anything is straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Our hump show, middle show of the work week. Whew. These April / now early May weeks have been doozies. I made a major mistake on Tuesday evening, and I had to write a really sincere apology, one in which I told my friend that I'm completely mortified. My brain is so stuffed full of everything that I've been juggling in the last month that I forgot I made a commitment to speak to his college class on Tuesday afternoon. It never even dawned on me until I saw his emails late on Tuesday evening. As I was coming back from Syracuse trying to catch up, I had to do one more training run for the half marathon on Sunday, and gosh, I feel terrible. So I think I reached the point at which it was too much. It was too much, so I have to make it up to him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All that to say, the weekends are even more treasured and cherished, and this weekend, even though I'm running 13.1 miles on Sunday morning, I will be thrilled if it's just not a complete and total washout like last weekend was. Although the yard work is calling my name again, Jay. You ready? Let's go.
All right, so we're going to start off with the Syracuse, of course, because we get a lot of questions there. Everyone wants to know how it went.
Aww.
So David wants to know, he asks, what did you learn from teaching at Syracuse, and was it better or worse than what you expected?
Oh, it's far better. Far better than what I expected, anticipated. I was nervous about getting to all of my material because I originally designed it as an 11-week class, and it was 4 weeks instead. I was also nervous about the interaction with students, only because I didn't know if they would accept me, if they would allow me credibility or really understand and appreciate what I can bring to the table as someone who's worked in radio for 25 years. I wasn't sure how it would go. I could not have asked for a better group of students. There were 8. 9 had signed up. I'm not sure what happened to the 9th one, but 8 of them. They were all very different, varying degrees of radio experience, and also varying goals for the course and for their careers, their future careers. They were engaged. They were enthusiastic. And more than half of them came to visit the radio show over the course of the 3 weeks that I did the show from Syracuse. I got the most incredible, I'll read it next hour. I got the most incredible text message from one young man who sat next to me. It's kind of funny. They all sat in the same seats all 4 weeks. Not like they had assigned seats or anything, but I got the most incredible text message from a fan. I got another young man who tweeted me just to say thank you. My the boss, who the sports director who hired me, she says she'd had a couple of students in her office who were raving about the class. It couldn't have gone better. And not because I feel like they liked me, but because of how they were engaged and because of how they poured themselves into the assignments. I think that was the best part, is the weekly assignments, and the class size was perfect. Yeah, I absolutely loved it, and I really hope that there's another opportunity to teach again.
I just have to add that, you know, during breaks and stuff, when the students were with you during our shows and I could hear them in the background interact, they all seemed like they were having such a good time and loved being there. So it was really cool.
They were. It's funny because they think I'm entertaining or funny. They laughed at me a lot. They love my stories on the radio. I just kind of feel like I stumble into that because I'm an idiot. And so people laugh at me. But if this group of, you know, late teenage, there were a few sophomores in there, late teens, early 20s thinks I'm funny, well, maybe there's a future in this radio thing.
All right, moving on here. Kendall asked, with your love of reading, did you ever think about becoming an author? And if so, would it be fiction or nonfiction?
I can't write fiction. That's not me. It's not my cup of tea. But I can definitely share my experiences over the course of this career. You know, I do write in my blog, and there are a lot of people who tell me that I have a gift for writing. But the part about writing that's different from radio is that it's agonizing for me. Writing does not come easy to me. It's a labor of love. I love it, but I obsess over my writing. And so when I do blog posts, and actually I've started one about the Grand Canyon experience, the bucket list experience that I haven't finished yet, but I will this weekend. Since I can do nothing on Saturday but sit and prepare for the half marathon and rest up. I do enjoy the writing, but it would be, from my perspective, it would be maybe a written version of what I do here on the radio and how I engage with people and connect with people as much as possible. Maybe how my career changed me or how I changed as a host. I don't think I'd write one of those books that was a tell-all where I go back and expose the industry as it was when I first started. I'm not interested in that. I'm much more positive. I want to be supportive. I want to be encouraging. That's how I approach my class. In as much as I was laying down the A-law, but that's also the type of book that I would write. Is that there's always got to be a theme of hope in what I write.
I like that. Tim wants to know, what is one song you can't help but sing along to?
One? I sing along to every song. I that's who I am. I sing out loud to the radio. I sing in the shower. I sing at home. I sing all the time. So it's not possible for me to pick one, because every song that comes on the radio or the radio or Spotify or tonight I was running with my iPod, my little orange iPod Nano, I sing out loud to every song. So yeah.
What was on the list tonight?
All of them. What was on the list? I had a little Jay-Z. Did I have some Jay-Z? I had some JT and Jay-Z. I had some great country stuff in there as well. A little Tim McGraw. Oh, I had Fort Minor. Do you remember Fort Minor?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That one song that hit so big. I'm going to have to remember the name. Remember the name. I rewound that a couple of different times.
That's
a classic. That was the first one I started to, and it gave me a great lift as I was trying to find my groove. Two-hour run tonight. 11-plus miles. 2 hours, three wicked hills. I mean, wicked. They were almost unfair. I was getting mad at the hills. Like, what is this? Stop it. Anyway, I'm still moving. I'm not crippled, but I got to run 13.1 on Sunday.
Well, crushed it. Joshua wants to know, what's a food you can't stand the sight or smell of?
I don't like Chinese food. I don't. Sweet and sour sauce.
It's a fair answer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do the Chinese food with the heavy sauces. That's not me. Also, mayonnaise. And maybe it's not a food, but it's a condiment. After taking a trip to Africa, in which they made a potato salad for us, but they didn't They didn't refrigerate it because we were out in this village where they didn't have electricity. The smell of mayonnaise in the African heat. No, it was so bad. I couldn't eat it. I knew I would have gotten sick, but also I can't stand the smell of mayonnaise anymore.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
They were very kind to want to share it with us, but no.
Thanks, but no thanks. This one's interesting. Comes in from Matthew. He says, Las Vegas only recently earned its first professional sports team. He names the teams that they've gotten.
The Golden Knights. The
Golden Knights. The WNBA Raiders. Aces. The now XFL the, Vipers. The Raiders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Soon to be the Athletics. We think. But he says, but it had a pro sports drought for years. And he asks, what other major metro areas have sports droughts and are deserving of a pro team?
Well, they don't have a drought anymore because Oklahoma City has the Thunder. And there was a lot of excitement about the Thunder. They built an arena. They've got this whole area called Bricktown, which they've really invested a lot of money in there. The city has lots of cool bars and restaurants, plus the arena. Oh, there's a huge, what's that? Oh, Bass Pro fishing shop. There's a huge Bass Pro there on the river. I think Oklahoma City is deserving of another sports franchise. I'm just not sure which one because many of them are Cowboys fans. But they're and not like we're seeing the NFL move a team anytime soon, but maybe a baseball team. A lot of them are St. Louis Cardinals fans. And so to have their own team there, the Women's College World Series venue is based in Oklahoma City. So they're big supporters of baseball and softball at the college level. I wonder if they would also support a Major League Baseball team. When I lived there, I used to have to go to Dallas to go to Rangers games.
That's the closest ballpark.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been to Oklahoma City, but the way they support the Thunder, I feel like baseball could work really
well
over there.
They were so star for a pro team.
CJ wants to know, have you been to any sports Hall of Fames? If so, which ones? And if not, which one is first on the list?
The only one I've been to is Springfield, the Basketball Hall of Fame, which I loved. I definitely want to go to Canton, but I think first on the list would be Cooperstown because of all the history of baseball. I think that would probably be number one. But yes, Canton for sure. And also the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which I believe is in Charlotte. I believe it's in Charlotte.
Last one here before rapid fire. Sandy asks, do you make coffee at home and bring it to work? Or do you have a coffee machine at work?
Well, both, actually. We have a coffee machine at work, but because I do not drink hot coffee, not even in an emergency, I don't drink hot coffee. I drink iced year-round. So I do make it at home, and I also bring it in a gigantic mug. It's insulated with a bunch of ice in it. So, yes, all of my coffee, because I'm very meticulous about how I make my coffee, it originates at home. Unless I go to a Dunkin' and get an iced coffee.
I got to get one more in here. Rob wants to know, what's the first Star Wars movie you're going to watch on May the 4th?
Well, I believe that Bob and I are going to be continuing in our chronological march, and we'll be watching number 2, The Attack of the Clones.
Got to be done.
It's got to be done. We got to suck it up and watch 2, which is the worst of all the Star Wars movies.
All right, we'll close it out with some rapid fire. Beach or lake?
Beach.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Cricket or grasshopper?
Cricket.
Online shopping or shopping in a store?
Well, these days, online shopping.
When you're wearing sandals, socks or no socks?
What? No one wears sandals with socks?
Shooties.
No. If I'm wearing sandals, I'm showing off the toes.
Chicken nugget or chicken tender?
Tender.
Nice.
That's it. Oh, that's it. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.